Chapter 29. Remembrances of Things Past. Is it possible to have amnesia and not know it? I mean, I always thought in order to have it, you had to be aware of it. You couldn't just forget something. You had to be aware there was something you forgot. Otherwise, that would be the same as forgetting, which would make us all amnesiacs, which maybe we are anyway. Whether I had a genuine case of it or not, I had a pretty good idea that the lullaby tap I received from the security guard with the nightstick the night of the murder was as good a reason as any why I failed to remember one particular aspect of what happened that night. And it required my seeing them again on the sidewalk in front of Butler Library 2 days after my ice skating date with Audrey Hopkins to finally recall the original image and bring back the empowering nature of the memory. Specifically, what I saw the second time around were the same identical wet shoe prints I had come across that night while jogging to pick up my room key. They were heading in the same direction as mine. I had noticed them because while I had been skirting around puddles due to my cold, bare feet, other shod feet had been traipsing right through them and laying down wet imprints on the dry patches on the far side of each puddle. One particular set had stood out to me. The prints had appeared to be the tread of a standard athletic shoe, waffle pattern, mirror images, like butterfly wings, both soles identical and both symmetrical. However, what made these prints stand out was a glaring inconsistency in the left sole that was absent on the right. It was a rough and uneven diagonal slash that ran from heel to toe, looking as though someone had taken a paring knife and crudely hacked or carved with it across the rubber. The left sole had it, the right sole did not. Then, of course, I had happened upon the body of Beverly Martindale, and any further thoughts about shoe prints had instantly flown out the window, only to be sent further flying off by the well-aimed blow of the nightstick. Except now, in remembrance and hindsight, the significance of the prints was vastly heightened, owing to the circumstance of them showing up near the murder scene. Not that I expected these would be the prints of the actual murderer, just that it was a possibility. The main thing arguing against it was the fact that the prints were on the same side of the barrier hedgerow as I was. However, even if they weren't the murderers, it was possible that whoever laid them down may have witnessed something that could prove crucial to the investigation. I took a snapshot of the ones in front of Butler. Back at my room, I called the 103rd Precinct. It was Thanksgiving Day, but Detective Lippincott, surprisingly, answered the phone herself. I explained to her about my flashback, prefacing it, as I did, that it might be something totally meaningless as far as the case was concerned. She listened, and when I finished, she said, "I'm glad you called. It never hurts, and I'm glad you took the photos. Send them to me, and also a description of where and when you saw them on both occasions." I said I would, and followed it up by repeating that it may not be significant at all. She said, "Then again, it might." I said, "Well, I hope it helps." She said, "Thanks. You can keep an eye out if you see those same shoe prints again. Try to find out who they belong to, but if you do, don't do anything about it. Just let me know." I promised I would. We might have hung up then, but I couldn't resist asking. So, is there anything more you've been able to turn up? She paused. She knew what I was doing, and I knew that I was taking a chance that it might get me labeled a limelight witness, an epithet I learned from my Uncle Frank. It refers to citizens who get caught up in the excitement of a crime by virtue of the fact of having been a witness to it, and are forever contacting the police with new theories and tips, trying to keep alive that thrill and the inflated feeling of self-importance that came when they achieved that special status, witness to a crime. After a thoughtful pause, Detective Lippincott answered, "Yes, I have a pretty good idea. Call it a strong hunch of whose footprints those are." "You do? Whose?" "Your uncle's." Oh, I get it. Following in the footsteps. Okay, well, thanks for the compliment.